Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Wednesday, 12th of May, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man and background to the news, sport, business, sea watch, travel updates and the newsmakers in person. Again, no new cases of COVID-19. Six active cases, one person in Noble's ICU. No government rescue for the Corrin home in Peel. Any lessons for us? As Guernsey's Orini loses £50 million. Who'll be the next Chief Minister? And will we have enough marshals for TT 2022?
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes before 6, these are the update news headlines. Fastamai, Tessa Hawley.
Fastamai, no new cases of COVID-19 have been identified on the Isle of Man in the last 24 hours. The number of active cases stands at 6. The Health Minister says his department won't step in to fund the Corrin home. The private facility in Peel is due to close in July after directors said they could no longer afford to run it. David Ashford says although it's a key site in the West, it's not right for the DHSC to offer a subvention. Firefighters from Ramsey and Kirkmichael were called to a blaze at an industrial unit in Jerby today. It's after a vehicle caught fire. No one was injured. Further afield, there's going to be a public inquiry into the government's handling of the coronavirus pandemic, which will start next spring. Campaign groups and Labour have welcomed the move, but are keen for it to start sooner. The UN Security Council is meeting to discuss the Israeli-Palestinian violence. Boris Johnson's urged both sides to step back from the brink. Palestinian militant group Hamas says its Gaza City commander has been killed in an airstrike. The Israeli army says one of its soldiers has died. And from April, large cafes, restaurants and takeaways in England will have to include calorie information on menus. Campaigners reckon the move could have a detrimental impact on people with eating disorders. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Gurumayan, thank you, Tessa. From the Ronald's Way Met Office, no warnings out in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours. On the Isle of Man tonight, pleasant, dry with a light breeze, partially cloudy through the night, down to 7 degrees. And for Thursday, Jourdain, mainly dry with sporadic showers, daytime maximum 15 tomorrow, low temperature 6 degrees through the night into Friday. Jehenya, risk of showers first thing, then dry and partially cloudy with a light breeze, top temperature 14 Celsius on Friday. Tides on the way out, low water is at 7:01, sunset 9:10 tonight, high water 1:03 a.m, sunrise tomorrow morning 5:19. And the morning low water, 7:26.
Find the latest ranges of high-tech windows, doors and conservatories at the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
So let's concentrate on today's COVID-19 numbers and the vaccine numbers. Tim Glover.
No new cases of COVID-19 have been identified on the Isle of Man in the last 24 hours. The number of active cases stands at 6, that's down. It's the 10th consecutive day of no coronavirus being detected here. One person who has the virus isn't in the intensive care unit at Noble's Hospital. There are 114 people waiting for a test result notification, and a further 94 booked in for a swab tomorrow. Just under 77,000 COVID-19 vaccines have now been administered. The number of first doses stands at 61,079, with this figure liable to remain fairly static in coming days, with attention firmly on giving people their second jab. 15,896 people have now received both injections. There are just under 10,000 vaccines in stock.
The Department of Health and Social Care can't step in to fund private private residential homes, says the Minister, David Ashford, MHK. He was asked, would his department intervene to save the privately run Corran Memorial Home in Peel from closure? Manx Radio listener Stephen Moore's mother and aunt are residents at the facility, and on The Man in Line today, he challenged Mr. Ashford.
Unfortunately, the solution isn't that Manx Care can simply step in, because it wouldn't be able to operate the building as it stands because of the legacy issues with that building.
Well, I know that you're saying that there's still work to be done, and it's not within your gift because you're not the ultimate owners of it, but I believe that Catherine Magson last night told at the meeting that there would be no rescue package put forward for the Corran home. So that's a little bit different.
Well that's not quite correct, Stephen. What I can say is that in relation to that, what was made absolutely clear is we can't provide the trustees with funding. It's a private home, and if DHSC was to do that, then quite rightly all the other private homes on the island would expect that it, should they encounter financial difficulties, then DHSC should be in a position to bail them out. So that was made absolutely abundantly clear. But as what I'm saying is that is a very key strategic site. There is issues with the building, and it's more than just minor issues. There was actually some major issues with it.
Well, what are the major issues?
So, for instance, there is under the R&I, so registration inspections are going in to do another assessment, but one of the wings, it just isn't fit for purpose. And in fact, actually, if it was new operator coming in, it wouldn't be agreed for that operator to take over with the situation it is. It can still operate at the moment under the legacy.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
23 minutes before 6. It's vital the concerns of Castletown traders and residents are listened to after plans to revamp the shopping streets in the ancient capital were unveiled from the area's MHK's Graham Crajean and Jason Morehouse, who've been reacting to proposals for work on Arbury and Maloo streets along with the Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker.
I can understand the concern, and I think the key point is the consultation with them, make them the residents of the area fully aware.
Beyond just the key point, communication, it does seem these people feel they're not being talked to enough about problems that will affect them very badly.
And I think that's one of the issues that was brought up was, is it just the traders or is it residents as well? Because there's a number of residential properties in Maloo and Arsbury Street as well.
There's a fear that it's being imposed on local people. People actually want the roads to be improved. There's a real need for that to happen.
They're a mess. They have to be.
They're terrible. But at the same time, local stakeholders should be brought in, should be spoken to, and their concerns should be dealt with. They're not big concerns. They're not actually opposing the scheme. They're quite manageable. And by the DOI actually forming this off to the commissioners and the planning system, we could get a situation, as there was in Peel, where the actual scheme is rejected. And no one wants that.
I'm happy for Castletown commissioners to decide how best to approach their community. I mean, it's not for me to tell them how to do it. Obviously, we've had the plans on display. The scheme's been in development for a long period of time. You know, we're moving to the planning application process. Obviously, we have to use the commissioners as the voice of the local community. It's what we do as standard in our schemes. And you're not going to have a unanimity of views from everybody in Castletown. So,
but there does seem to be a lack of communication between the commissioners and the village shopkeepers going shop to shop.
You've been down there and spoken to the people there. If that's what they feel, I'm certainly not going to criticise Castletown commissioners. You know, they do a good job in representing their community and engaging with the departments. What I'm keen to do is for us to get on and deliver this scheme. It's a big investment into the town.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
21 minutes before 6, lovely night tonight in the North Irish Sea. The Mananan high-speed craft left Heysham at 2 minutes past 2. She docked into Douglas shortly after 4:15. Next departure out tomorrow morning, 8:45. Mananan heads for Heysham, arriving there at 11 o'clock, departing at 2:15. Back tomorrow morning at about tomorrow afternoon at about 4:30. Now, the Ben McCree was due to be back tomorrow, but as you probably heard, a period of overhaul has been extended by something like 3 weeks to the end of this month. So Mananan's providing cover for the Ben the to and from Heysham, the motor ship Arrow providing the replacement freight service.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
A voucher scheme to boost the Isle of Man's economy is going to be unveiled in the near future, says the Enterprise Minister, Lawrence Skelly, MHK. He discussed the idea in this week's sitting of Keys, says Tessa Hawley.
Prior to the pandemic, businesses have known to suffer from seasonal demand, seeing peaks in summer and troughs in winter. However, with the cancellation of large events such as TT and the potential for residents to begin leaving the island when borders are open, the department recognised that more support may be necessary.
Lawrence Skelly discussing plans to help businesses and local attractions struggling due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, a topic sparked by Garth MHK Martin Perkins, whose own ideas weren't far off the mark.
What I'm thinking of is something more or less like the lines of when you book an aircraft ticket, you can get a discount for a hotel, you can get discounts for car hire. Could we perhaps do something like that to give discounts to the Laxey Wheel or the amenities that we've got, some sort of voucher scheme whereby they get preferential treatment? Would the Minister comment on that?
I will say that the Economic Recovery Group is looking at a particular scheme, voucher scheme, a reward scheme that we think will be very effective for the domestic economy here on the island. So there will be more details of that published very, very soon.
The initiative certainly attracted the attention of fellow MHKs, Julie Edge, Claire Christian and Claire Barber, who were keen to flesh out the detail.
What consideration has been given to how this voucher system will operate? Is it a card system? Is it a paper voucher?
Could the Minister give assurances that the any voucher scheme going forward will be an equal opportunity for all sectors of local businesses, not just the ones that actually scream the loudest?
I wonder, would the Minister agree with me that one of the best things that we can do to support the local economy is keep pace with our neighbouring jurisdictions in terms of our borders?
Mr Skelly confirmed procurement for the voucher scheme, which will be predominantly digital, has been completed and it will be tied in with the Love IOM brand. He said whilst border relaxation is important, encouraging local people to spend will also be key.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
18 minutes before six, the president of Taiwan, Tsai Ing-wen, promised an improvement in the supply of semiconductors, chips, amid a glowing global shortage. The island Taiwan is home to TSMC, the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company. It's the world's most valuable semiconductor company and the world's largest dedicated independent semiconductor foundry. Soaring demand for electronics choked supplies, leading to some vehicle manufacturers like Ford and Volkswagen pausing production, and appliance makers like Samsung and LG bracing for impact. Worsening the situation in Taiwan is a drought, limiting the water supplies essential to producing chips. Cities across Europe have found an old solution to the new problem of climate change, with urban planners looking for ways to decarbonise cities. Trams are making a comeback as a cost-effective and sustainable way to close gaps in public transport networks. Lisbon, which has been restoring its transit network in recent years, is spending €43 million on new trams. Seville's earmarked €19.6 million to expand its tram system. Berlin is laying 70 kilometres of new track in the next 15 years. Milan and Rome are also reportedly looking to restore trams to their former glory. And streetcars have already been brought back before the pandemic in places like Nottingham and Strasbourg after long absences.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed higher. The US dollar rose. Oil rose on signs of a speedy economic recovery. Gold fell even after a hotter than expected inflation report pushed up US Treasury yields and the US dollar. In corporate news, Diageo was the standout gainer, as the drinks maker said it's restarted its £4.5 billion plan to return capital to shareholders. Spirax Sarco Engineering rallied after it said margins in the first 4 months to April 30th were higher than expected. The numbers now at the close in London. Ramsey Crookall reports the FTSE 100 up 0.8% at 7,004. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.25% at 15,158. In New York City, Ramsey Crookall reports the ongoing Dow Jones Industrial Day's trading down 1% at the moment, 33,911. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index is down 2%, 13,128. And the S&P 500 500 in Chicago, down 1.3% at 4,097. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling currently worth $1 40.9 cents, €1 16.6 cents, and 19 South African rand 80.1 cents. And in commodities, gold is down 0.8% at $1,822 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up 1.3% at $69.56.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Krikor, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseykrikor.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Good evening. It's 14 minutes before six. Thank you for choosing Manx Radio this lovely Wednesday evening. Guernsey's national airline, Aurini, has recorded huge losses totalling over £50 million to the end of 2020, and it's feared the figure could rise as high as £70 million by the end of this year. The head of Manlink Travel, Brian Kelly, believes the losses should be a warning to those in the Isle of Man who think the Manx government should launch its own airline. But what operating model would he like to see in place for the island?
Well, it's going to be an interesting 12, 18, 24 months, I think, as regional airlines and all airlines try to recover from what's been the most difficult year ever in the history of aviation. Lots of airlines have huge debts, and how that will impact on the Isle of Man still remains to be seen, because we do have this open skies policy. I don't believe there is any strategy that's been created for the short or the long term. We are very much in the hands of who is willing to take a risk and come into the Isle of Man. What history does tell us, it's very clear for us to understand and see that in the main, airlines either financially collapse on our Isle of Man routes, or they choose to leave the island. So, for example, I've seen British Airways come and go probably 7 or 8 times in my 40 years in travel on the Isle of Man. And we have no British Airways again today. So will they come back at some stage in the future? Well, let's hope they will. But on our key routes, history does tell us that for regional carriers, are our routes sustainable? Are they profitable? And that's certainly one of the questions that needs to be answered fairly quickly, because are we going to have to continue with some subsidy as a government to support an airline to fly what are lifeline routes to and from the island?
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Good evening, Fastamai. Manx golfing star Tom Gandy recaptured his very best form last week in Tenerife. A career-low second round of 63 helped him to his highest ever European Tour finish, tied 27th in the Canary Islands Championship, bookending his 8-under-par total on day two with 2 1-under-par 70s. The Raoni man went into the final day in the middle of the field, where an impressive final round of 67 saw him climb several places and secure his best ever result. His 63 was the joint lowest round on the Friday and included 7 birdies and an eagle, with the Manxman playing some outstanding golf. This effort saw the Isle of Man flag make an appearance on the leadership board as he forced his way briefly into the top 10 before some of the late starters pushed him back down into a tie for 14th place by close of play. After a quiet start to the season, Tom was delighted to be involved over the weekend and satisfied with his performance. The result means that he carries plenty of confidence with him as he returns to the UK this week for his 5th consecutive European Tour start of 2021, the Betfred British Masters, hosted by Danny Willett at the iconic Belfry Resort. Isle of Man Netball's campaign to make the sport more inclusive is calling for men to get on court. Men's netball training is becoming a regular occurrence as the sport continues to grow, but the sporting body is encouraging even more men to come and give it a try. The sessions are open to all and will be held on Sundays and Mondays over summer. A full list of the dates and how you can get involved can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page. Further afield in basketball, and the Miami Heat secured a playoff spot with a 129-121 win at the Boston Celtics that all but condemned the Celtics to the new play-in tournament. Miami's 10th win in 13 games moved them into a tie for 5th in the Eastern Conference. Meanwhile, the LA Lakers kept their playoff hopes alive with a 101-99 victory against the New York Knicks. And the Women's 2021 Rugby World Cup has been rescheduled for the 8th of October to the 12th of November 2022. World Rugby has extended the tournament to 43 days, bringing the minimum 5-day rest period in line with the Men's World Cup.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Everything's fine on the mountain road tonight, clear as a bell over the top from Ronalds Way Airport. The 10 to 5 Loganair patient transfer plane to Liverpool left 10 minutes late at 5 o'clock, due back this evening at 20 to 7, just one departure, one arrival on the Isle of Man. On the roads, north of Ballasalla, the Oristol Road is closed for resurfacing, ready for the Southern Show in July. The work's going to be completed by Sunday 23rd. While the work's in place, the temporary lights on the main road at Ballasalla will be suspended just to lessen the confusion. In Douglas, the top end of the promenade by the MER tram sheds, there are temporary lights there for the next 3 weeks, at least while they're repairing the sea wall. In Ramsey, a section of Parliament Street's closed to make Alden House safe. Diversions via Tower Street and Water Street. Look out also for some problems on Glen Elphin Road, South Promenade and Stanley Mount East in Ramsey. Tomorrow morning in Mackle, Jack's Lane's closed from 9 o'clock. Till Manx Telecom carrying out some work in Kirkmichael Main Road. There, temporary lights 24 hours a day for work on the pavements to the end of this month. The Peel to Kirkmichael Coast Road has got temporary lights for resurfacing between Devil's Elbow and Glenwillan. And look out at Pullrose Bridge. Yes, it's closed until February of next year, at least.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre Club Card has over £400 worth of saving for your whole family. Get more with Quayside.
Well, we know Mr. Quayle's going as Howard Quayle serves out his final months as our Chief Minister. Naturally, thoughts turn to his successor. John Moss assesses what's been and what may be coming.
Since 1986, we've had 8 Chief Ministers, if you count the mild confusion that followed the departure prematurely from office of Richard Corkill. The first to bear the title, Sir Miles Walker, was followed by Donald Gelling. After Mr. Corkill, Mr. Gelling came back as a caretaker before Tony Brown arrived, a dark horse candidate in 2006. He was followed by Alan Bell. Now, his successor, Howard Quayle, departs the top job. Up to last year, Donald Gelling, having to announce the calling off of the TT, was perhaps the toughest ask of a modern chief minister. But our interpretation of a hard day in the chief minister's office has rather changed in the last year or so. From gripping the tiller into a stiff breeze initially in his term, Mr. Quayle suddenly found himself wrapped in a sou'wester, holding a course into a considerable coronavirus storm. With his health minister, he formed the public face of the Manx response, and initially it went well. The island enjoyed 7 months free from COVID restriction. Howard was cheered by onlookers on Timbuktu Day. He was in demand in the UK media as an example of somewhere that could control COVID. Then 2 further lockdowns down the road, the third the subject of some controversy, and with the lingering effects of long COVID to contend with, Howard's end in the office is both understandable and predictable. Indeed, whispers had been heard for some time. So, now what? There will be conjecture. Alf Cannon is the first name to come to mind. When I asked him, he smiled but wouldn't be drawn. I asked David Ashford. Absolutely not, he told me. To float any other names would be total conjecture. But remember how Tony Brown came in after 3 other members were stalemated. Don't rule out the unexpected. At least 13 votes in the Keys are needed to produce a name. Legco no longer involved in the process. What sort of chief minister are we looking for? Well, let's look firstly at the job they'd have to do. Howard Quayle, for much of his tenure and by circumstance, was forced to be a reactive chief minister, reactive to the COVID menace, holding back the virus. As we slip into a new normal and mitigation, his successor will hopefully be able to concentrate on being a proactive chief minister, getting the island back onto its 3 feet. During Howard Quayle's period in office, he took the island through a relatively smooth Brexit, and during his administration brought the steam packet on board. But his period in office will always be linked with a deadly, virtually invisible enemy that tested to the limit the stoicism of the Manx people.
550 marshals are required to man the TT course ahead of every practice and race session, and a large percentage of those come from off the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man TT Marshals Association Director Steve Christian says a lot of work is taking place for next year, but what new factors may come into play?
Have enough qualified marshals is another problem. So what we rely on is the marshals coming back, you know, year after year to the Festival of Motorcycling Classic TT Grand Prix and TT, and getting those experienced marshals back on the island. It's not just about bums on seats. So what we really need to focus on, and what we are doing, is focusing on our current cohort of marshals and trying to make sure that they feel valued. We're engaging with them via social media, via our website, via email, to make sure that, you know, we can get as many back as possible. But of course, in a post-COVID world, we don't know what the situation is going to be in 2022. There's a lot of businesses that have gone under. A lot of people have been furloughed. A lot of people's financial circumstances are very different. So we don't necessarily know today how many of our normal cohort of recurring marshals we're going to get back. And we're trying to mitigate that in various ways.
How many, the percentage of UK marshals that you rely on as opposed to those that are locally sourced? It is the majority, I take it.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. So for the TT, it's somewhere between 75 and 80% of marshals from overseas, not just the UK, but from further afield as well. So they make up the majority of the cohort of marshals that we have for the TT. The Grand Prix, off the top of my head, Grand Prix and Festival Motorcycling, I think it's more like about 65%, 60-65% for that. But yes, we absolutely rely on a large cohort of visitors coming over. But as I say, and what's been encouraging, well, you know, obviously prior to COVID, the sort of last 5 or 6 years for the TT, we haven't necessarily really struggled with numbers. We've had a lot of people coming back. We've had a lot of, you know, people experienced coming back to Marshall. And, you know, there's a lot of loyalty to the TT Marshalls, to the TT, to the Grand Prix.
That's it for Update tonight. Remember, the stories you've heard on this update and many more are available at manxradio.com and via the Manx Radio app, which is free of charge if you don't have it already. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. Thanks to newsreader Tessa Hawley, producer Rhiann Evans. I'm Andy Wint. Back 5:30 tomorrow. W-I-X.